Hello and welcome to How the World Begins Again. I'm Elizabeth Hilliard. I'm a professional singer fascinated by music and music making. And in this series, I'm meeting women composers and sound artists working in Ireland. In this episode, Rebuilding, I'm with three artists, Fionnuala Merivale, Abigail Smith and Éilísh Ní Rian, exploring what they see and experience as challenges, both personal and professional, and how they have overcome those challenges in their lives and have used it in their music.
I'm writing a piece at the moment called Ceasing Sands, which is inspired by the fact that the earth is actually running out of sand. And a lot of people don't know this. I didn't know this until a couple of years ago, and it's even causing wars. People are dying because of this like sand theft that's happening in various places where like sand is being kind of mined illegally, causing a lot of violence where this is happening, so that we have roads and buildings and, you know, everyone who wants to build their new house because they don't want to buy an old house, they're using concrete, which is made from sand. And I had no idea that we were literally running out, and the amount we're using every year is drastically more than what the earth is able to make.
That's Fionnuala Merivale, an Irish composer from Cork, currently based in New York, where she is studying for a PhD under the supervision of Canadian composer Zosha DeCastri in Columbia University. The music Fionnuala has created recently has been very much influenced by her thoughts on climate change.
I'm writing a piece about plastic in the ocean, the fact that we're kind of eating plastic. I think I heard a statistic that we're ingesting a credit card's worth of plastic every single week, from how it's like the microplastics in our food, which is horrifying. I didn't kind of wake up one day and decide all my music will be about climate change. It was more that everything that was inspiring me was about this. Like I'm horrified by it. I'm, you know, in my early-ish 30s and just seeing what the world might be like for my generation who has children. Like what world are we leaving for them? Can we even survive? Sometimes I get really worried. I think when something is like on your mind like that, something so important that affects all of us, it's only natural that sometimes that those thoughts kind of filter into the actual music you're making. And I feel like most of us don't need to be told about plastic, but I still felt very strongly that it was something I needed to do a piece about. And that one has a multimedia element, so I'm like eating plastic, and I've made videos where I'm eating the plastic and kind of juxtaposing that over images with water and dead fish. And I'm at the very, very beginning of that piece. But then, you know, the piece about sand, maybe some people don't, I didn't know about it. So maybe other people don't know about it, and might, if one person reconsiders buying a concrete house or making a concrete house. My dad works in sustainable forestry, actually. Around loads, in loads of countries in Europe, most new houses are being built of wood, and there's a lot of misinformation about wood and whether it's too flammable for houses. But actually, you can make very, very safe, sustainable houses with sustainable forestry. I learn a lot from him as well.
My name is Abigail Smith, and I'm an Irish, well, Dublin-based composer and musician. And I've been playing music for many years and composing for many years as well. I write music for voice, for strings, orchestra, basically anything that I can try, I'll give it a go. And I recently completed a course for writing for computer games in Griffith College, and I learned all about the tech and, you know, music production as well, which was really brilliant. I loved it. And I'm a mother. I have three children also, which I think is important to note.
But I often hear women, while they're maybe pregnant with their first child, going, and I've been told I won't be able to do this. I've been told this won't happen. And I just wonder sometimes, is some of the story around it helpful to people? Or are there other types of stories that we maybe as creative artists could be telling each other, and maybe in arts organisations, to kind of proactively be putting initiatives in place?
For me personally, having children, when I was having my first child, I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'll never be able to write or play music again, because it's just always been part of my life. But in terms of work, like the gigs that I would do, funnily enough, I mainly play with women musicians. So, you know, they were also having children, and we all sort of supported each other, I suppose, in a way. It's like any job. I think it definitely, the logistics are always going to be difficult, and you have to kind of think through everything. But in terms of supports outside of your close family circle, I suppose there could be more done, you know, for creative people, men and women. But I think a lot of the caring responsibilities do often fall on women's shoulders. Well, because, you know, if you're feeding your baby yourself, you have to physically be there, you know. But it would be great. Even I did this Mothers in Music program during the lockdown. I was supposed to go up to Belfast every week too, and I was looking forward to going up on the train, having a bit of time to myself. But it ended up moving online. And this program was for women at any parts of their musical journey, for mothers who play music, write music. And it really was brilliant. We had workshops, we worked with mentors, we had mindfulness sessions, which really are great, you know, for general life. And we all sort of got to know each other as well, because we were meeting up every week. But it'd be great if they had something like that in this part of the country as well, you know, and just to have space. I think to have a space to go to where you could say, you know, even if there was childcare facilities, like there's some great community centres where you can go and do classes, and they also have affordable childcare for the hour or two. But they don't really do that in art centres or music centres, which I think would be amazing, because then you'd have all these women coming in who could support each other, but also would be able to go have a rehearsal for 2 hours, not having to negotiate with someone else outside that space. Finding ways to stay creative after you have children, just little snippets of time. If you're standing beside your keyboard, have your instrument out if it's safe, you know, with the kids. Just little moments of practice and little moments of recording ideas, having a notebook around you if you can. But also being very easy on yourself, gentle on yourself, because when you have children, it does change a lot of things. And it's okay to not be able to do everything the same way. You know, I think it's important to give yourself a major break, you know, and just say, right, I can't do everything, and that's okay, you know.
Well, I have multiple hearing issues, and deafness is one of them. I also have something called hyperacusis and tinnitus. So the combination of all three certainly have presented challenges in my work as a composer and someone working with music and sound. I wasn't born with deafness. It's something that I've acquired. I had quite a serious illness when I was young, which affected my hearing, and it has lessened. My ability to hear has lessened more considerably in recent years. The tinnitus and hyperacusis are also more recent in the last few years.
That's Irish composer and playwright Éilis Ní Rian, originally again from Cork, but who now lives in the countryside in the north of England. We've worked together on a number of projects over the last 12 years or so, and I was curious to find out about Éilis's experience as a deaf, hearing impaired composer.
This has been something I've been living with for quite a while, and I guess it's really only in recent years that I've been vocal about it. It's a tricky thing to speak about, because when you're a professional composer, I guess there's an understanding that you are fully equipped and capable of doing your job of work. And I would argue that I am in many respects, but things often do need to be done differently in order for me to be able to work in the same way as others or to the best of my ability. And for sure, I knew that I had serious issues going on with my hearing for a long time before I made any moves to have something done about it. And in fact, I think it led to me making many decisions about how I live my life and how I chose to work and in what areas of music and theatre and the arts that I got involved in. Because I knew that there was something going on, and I was too scared, really, to have it looked into. So I just pretended it wasn't happening. Now it's something I'm trying to be more open about and embrace more, because on a very practical level, the people I work with need to be aware of this, and many have been for quite a long time in any case. But certainly I feel a little bit more able to be upfront about what the difference is when you work with me and try and establish that at the beginning of a collaboration or a creative conversation. And it also gives people a chance to do their best to work with me as opposed to introducing this as something further down the line. In 2007, I started to create work around this area, and I've made a number of pieces, composed work, written work, and made music theatre and visual work since then around this subject and broadly around this subject. So it is something now that is fully part of my practice because it needs to be, but also it's something I want to communicate with people to try and promote an understanding of what it is like working with a disability as a professional artist.
Éilis has recently become a board member of Disability Arts Online, and I was curious to hear more about this group.
They were established almost 20 years ago, and they came out of grassroots advocacy around disability and representation in the arts broadly, across all art forms. My interest in them is considerable because I came across their work first when I was making a piece that included deaf performers and sign language interpretation back in 2007. And they came to the work and they reviewed it and subsequent iterations of it and other work that I've done in the intervening years around the area of disability, sensory loss. And they review work and they put artists together, and they have always been an online publication. And they are a robust and challenging group of activists and artists, and I have always felt very at home in those conversations, because when you get into a room with people of such diversity and such different kinds of ways of perceiving the world, you automatically kind of forget about yourself, which is a good starting point, but also you begin to realize the variety of voices that are traditionally missing from some artistic spheres that I've been part of. And I feel very at home with that sort of feral renegade group of folk, I have to say. It feels very comfortable for me to be among these people and to champion their work.
That's from Skalanishte by Eili Sni Rian, played by Dermot Dunn. Before that, we heard Fionnuala Merivale's Des Os for improvising saxophonist over pre-recorded saxophones and electronics, performed by Catherine Sikora. We also listened to two works by Abigail Smith. Human from the Earth, from her album Fall into Silence, composed with an Arts Council bursary and released under the Music Network recording scheme, and the music she created for the computer game Lone Penguin. Thank you for listening to this episode of How the World Begins Again. In the next one, a difference beat. I'm with three more artists, Karen Power, Una Monaghan and Aina Brennan, hearing how their work outside of classical music has shaped their musical ideas and how their experiences of other forms of listening influences their lives.